Hey there, Friday Night Movie family. You are listening to a very special South by Southwest episode of the Friday Night Movie podcast. Tune in for all of the exciting interviews we have coming to you this week and beyond. And if you're at the festival, we hope you're having an amazing time. Here we are, and welcome to the Rockinest Rollinest episode of the Friday Night Movie Podcast at South by Southwest, because not only do we have returning Kaylee McGee, who everyone already has heard the Can episode, which I'm already getting like amazing emails and texts about, which is, it's amazing. We also have the band Yacht.
Hi. Two-thirds.
Two-thirds of the band, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very, very honest of you all.
Yeah.
So we know Kaylee is a writer, actor, director, and all those things. Kaylee, would you like to introduce the band?
Ooh.
Yes, absolutely. Like, my honor and pleasure. Okay.
You're like the Bill Graham of this. Like when you hear those old Fillmore recordings.
Here we are with two of my favorite people in the whole world, two-thirds of the band, Yacht.
Hi. Yay. I'm Jonna.
I'm Claire.
We're two-thirds of the band, Yacht.
Two-thirds? We won't mention the third, but...
So...
Hi, Rob.
So... So in terms of the band...
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, it seems based on the documentary that you guys have in coming, which I don't, it's not widely available yet. Computer
no, it's
Accent.
It's coming out in April, actually.
Okay, yeah. All right. I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah.
You sing and you play computers at this point, or also instruments? I would love to hear just a little bit about what you all do.
Sometimes the computer plays you.
I mean, most of the time these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, we play instruments. And yeah, we sing and we record.
Sing, yeah.
And we're Grammy nominated producers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. There we go.
Yeah.
That's it. We've been a band for 20 something years. Yeah.
Yeah. What? I don't know. It's so hard to just be like, oh, well, this is, yeah. Yeah. We've been a band for a long time. We've done a lot of different things. We've done a lot of different projects.
Mm-hmm.
We love experiments. We love taking risks. The band name stands for Young Americans Challenging High Technology. Even though we're not young anymore, we still like to challenge high technology.
We've played every kind of show in every kind of space, from basements to stadiums.
Caves, boats, beaches.
Yeah.
Festivals.
Yeah. There you go.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Welcome, Yacht. And what we're going to be talking about today is one of my favorite subjects. We've talked about this many times on the show. We've had more than one music video director.
Cool.
But the magic that happens when the band and a visual artist come together and make a music video. You made a music video for My Idea, which I assume, I love to know. I'm trying to read into it about that it does follow the motto of the band, because we've got a dude in a mocap suit, like living his life, but then also doing crazy mocap things.
Yeah.
And I just kept thinking about, you know, that dance between the artificial and the not artificial. But beyond that, I don't feel like I'm smart enough to fully, am I on the right track, Kaylee?
Yeah, you're definitely on the right track.
Okay, great.
Hot, warm.
Okay, cool. But it's mesmerizing, and it also has one of the things that I love so much that happens in a music video is when, yes, the music video is a vehicle for the song, and I would love to know your thoughts on like what music videos are for today, but the music video in the great tradition of Thriller and Everybody Hurts. Those are like weird ones, but those are. But it has like this short film vibe, and it almost breaks out of the song to tell the story.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
Which is such a great, which is so rewarding. Like I'm watching a music video, but you know, there's more to. You know, when Meatloaf gave us "I Would Do Anything for Love," mm-hmm. but I won't do that. Sure, we had this song that people are still trying to decipher.
Yeah,
but we also got like Meatloaf in his own version of Beauty and the Beast. I'm not saying this is the same plot, but it is that like it is that feeling that you're getting more than someone who's just selling you the song.
For
you're
sure.
getting this like great storytelling.
Well, it's a Kaylee McGee motion picture experience. It's not a music video.
Yeah, the music is just like this.
We're talking.
It's a carrier wave for like a much more profound signal.
Yeah, we're talking about an artist who has both a music video in competition and a short film. That doesn't happen. Yeah. People don't have two things at South by Southwest.
They don't do that here normally.
I was wondering if you. I was wondering if you were going to be acting in this one too, because
I have a cameo.
Oh, okay.
My hair is a completely. I look really different. But yeah. I have a little cameo. I play the makeup girl.
Ah. Yeah. All right. So,
and Claire essentially plays Kaylee. Yeah.
Yeah. The director. Donna plays the sound guy.
Yeah.
And our bandmate Rob plays the
cameraman.
Cameraman.
Mm-hmm. Which is his second time playing a cameraman in a music video that I've made for Yacht.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's a recurring character who, yeah, he
so there's a shared universe.
Yeah. He used to just be a still photographer, but he's moved up to moving images now. And I can't be happier for him.
You all, because of the way you all do more than just the music piece, right? Like it does feel like you all should have a shared universe.
Oh yeah.
As far as
we do.
As far as
like the world around this music video was so fun because like, I mean, it's about a motion capture actor and there's like little hints in the video of like what he's acting in. And we had to like invent what that movie would be. And then in our heads invent like, yeah, it's a sequel. It's an animated family film.
It's called Burrowing Home 2.
It's about these little
meerkats
trying to get back home after like their
we really
burrow
thought a lot
was
about
destroyed.
It.
Like we had this whole like world of it. So yeah, that's like that's a super fun part of the whole.
We're also here in town selling Burrowing Home 1 and 2. So yeah. If anyone wants to hear the pitch, we got it ready to go. We got a great deck. It's you gotta check it out.
So Kaylee, you hear a song and it turns into a short movie. Mm-hmm. How do you build that? What's your?
It's so hard to put it into words, and I think we did a good job in my idea. I really wanted to like bring a piece of my creative process to life in a meta way, in a new meta way. But at the beginning, when Claire and Jonna sent me the song, it was just a blank canvas. I sat on the song for a couple of weeks, and then this kernel of an idea, many years before, I went over to Claire and Jonna's house, and they were like, sit down, and you have to see this video on YouTube. So I sit down, and they play me Benedict Cumberbatch in a motion capture suit, giving 200% of everything he's got.
Oh, Yeah. I've seen that.
That's important piece of media.
It's an unforgettable, riveting, beautiful piece. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
And that always stuck with me. And when I listened to my idea, that popped up into my mind. And it was like so many things like gelling together. And so that's like when the concept started. And I sat on it and I cooked it out for a little bit. I made a deck. And then I pitched it to Claire and Jonna.
A very formal pitch process. Yeah. No joke.
She's kind of the queen of the pitch.
Yeah. When we first met Kaylee, she pitched us on being friends by just showing us a bunch of like ideas for creative projects.
Yeah, she literally brought a PowerPoint, I think, if I can recall.
I love that. My daughter, my 12-year-old does that. She made a whole PowerPoint to make a case for why she should get her own room.
Ooh, I did something similar for getting a hamster when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But this is very encouraging.
Yeah.
Because if my daughter does as well as you all are doing, like this group, then she's in good shape. This is great.
It's all about the pitch.
And I just want to throw into that, like the listening to Yacht's music goes in it like in so many different ways for me, because there's also this song that they have that's the end song of my narrative short film, Can.
Yeah.
That's also them. And that was such a huge inspiration for the end of my film. And that was like in the script.
Yeah.
So it's like our collaboration goes in like so many different directions.
Yeah. We're like very available to each other as collaborative artists. It's like we can help. We'll help. If you can help, you'll help.
We'll do anything.
That's how we do it.
For Kaylee.
Yeah.
Do you ever write to Kaylee's? So Kaylee made visuals to your music. Have you written to Kaylee's visuals yet?
I don't know. She hasn't asked.
This is my pitch.
Anything.
John has.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I have.
I'm like, wait. Oh, actually, we.
A commercial.
A commercial that Kaylee directed. Yeah, I scored a commercial that Kaylee directed. That's true.
Yeah.
For a educational product called Sharpen.
McGraw-Hill, check it out.
it just got renewed.
Yeah.
They paid me again. It was great.
Boom. Love that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right.
But not for, I'd love to do more of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Because I'm fascinated with the idea of like a musician, you know, who
scoring the picture,
or scoring the picture, but also writing a song for the picture, right? Yeah. Specifically being this is the movie, I've seen it, and now I'm gonna put words and melody and like the whole, you know, this other story is gonna come out of me.
Yeah,
you know what? This has happened subconsciously. I'm just realizing now. We have a song called "Get Ill Soon" that hasn't come out yet, and I think is like a direct reaction to Kaylee loving this other song that's in Cannes, at the end of Cannes, and maybe like weirdly about cancer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, you haven't heard it. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Right.
Interesting.
But it's like in the same realm, yeah, as that other song. Anyway. Yeah.
I think
it's
very cool. I've observed this before, but it's coming up in this moment that like as artists, the three of us are in whatever we're doing separately or together, just or living life as humans, like trying to connect dots.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not totally. Like
leaving, not even trying.
Not connecting.
Yeah. Yeah. No like, dot unturned. Yeah.
No dot is unturned.
I love
and that.
That
is like a beautiful thing as like a life lived in art.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in dialogue with each other, whether we know it or not. Subconsciously, it's all happening.
I just like to be in community and make stuff together. I mean, that's it. About, you know,
that's,
it's as musicians. I mean, it can be kind of isolating sometimes because you're just working on your own little thing and, you know, we're in the studio and to bring that work out into a different realm and to like see how someone that you respect interprets that work and then to see a whole cast and crew of people dedicate a ton of energy and like labor and love into bringing that to life and giving it a visual like story and identity. Like it's such an uplifting way to exist as an art maker. I mean, I can't imagine a world without music videos because it just, it puts your work into context and it like brings you into conversation with a creative community that can kind of like grow and build together.
It's really funny when you say that because I couldn't agree more about music videos, but also you all seem much younger than me, but I'm old enough to remember the arc of music videos are the devil. They're commercial. They're horrible. Yeah. They're terrible. But then a whole bunch of folks started making like really great freaking art with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like we went into this like golden age. REM is like my all time favorite band. And I feel like they're a band that resisted videos and then got into them and made such great ones for such a long time.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it started to evaporate, there there are people who are really paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you all think of the state of music videos or the arc of music videos?
I mean, anything that's longer than 30 seconds in this day and age is
a miracle.
It's like imperiled and a miracle. And obviously the audience is different than it was, you know, in the 90s. Like people aren't necessarily watching music videos on TV anymore. There's not this sort of discovery of music videos. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I would go to my mom's best friend's house and she and him would hang out all day and I would just watch MTV and I would like write down in a notepad every single thing I saw with like little tick marks for like how many times I saw it because that was the only way I was coming across. I was discovering so much, you know, and I was being like indoctrinated into popular culture. We don't have that kind of passive discovery anymore. It's more like
you have to seek
artist,
it out.
I want to seek it out.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of work than it once was.
Yeah.
But I think it's still like the super valuable. And it's, again, like it's a way of putting music into a context, into a community, giving it a life. You know, it's, I think music videos are also such a stepping stone for directors, you know, like so many great feature directors started out making music videos. Like it's a great way to experiment and cut your teeth and do things that are like weird that you couldn't do in narrative formats. Like, you know, just have a dance sequence, for example. Mm-hmm. Or
that's true. We need more dance sequences in general. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kaylee loves to put a dance sequence, even in a narrative film, which is, I think, one of the funniest and coolest things about practice.
Can we talk about like just all time favorite music videos for a minute? Because I would I would love to jam out on that a little bit.
Oh gosh.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Let's just talk about ones we like first. It doesn't have to be like
okay, I won't put that pressure. Okay, sorry. I'm not going to put that pressure.
I mean, I just recently rewatched New Pollution, the Beck music video.
Okay.
Like, so many ideas and so many setups and so much like, parody of old music videos, like 60s dance stage stuff. And it holds up. It's really fun. It's really great. And it made me wish that people were spending more money on music videos like they were in that time at the peak of music videos in the mid 90s.
That's Beck's music video run is great.
Yeah, totally.
That's a great run.
Yeah.
Was that like Breeders? Was it a Breeders video? That
Cannonball
was
with
Cannonball.
Kim Gordon made it. Yeah.
Like
Kim Gordon and Spike Jonze together made that.
I have a real fondness for kind of 90s alternative style music videos where it's like they're sort of taking the piss out of like the idea of a music video, you know, they're sure. like, you see a lot of like, it's kind of actually reminds me of Kaylee's work. Like you see the artifice, you see the setup, you see the camera.
Yeah.
You see the performers like playing to camera, but in a sort of knowing and self-conscious way. Mm-hmm. I think it like encapsulates a lot of stuff about like 90s anxiety about selling out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this period where like, there was this period in the later 90s when we're back to like booty shorts sort of like nonstop. But then there is this run in like the early to mid 90s where it is like all people who at one point refused to make a music video, making music videos.
Sure,
like
yeah.
I can think, you know, it's like sort of after Guns N' Roses,
yeah.
before Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Like that's how I, which I'm not, she's got some great music videos, but there was this period where I think you're right on where it's just like, that is.
Yeah. I mean that kind of like Michelle Gondry, Spike Jones,
yeah.
those DVDs that everybody had. Mm-hmm. In their
totally.
Early
yeah,
aughts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like some artists I know are like, yeah, like,
but then
understood visual culture through those.
But let's
DVDs.
Dig into the what you're calling the booty shorts era, because like every single Missy Elliott and
oh,
every
yeah.
single Busta Rhymes video, all like the Hype Williams stuff, those are important and like radical and
yeah, but
so
those
good.
Aren't booty I mean, those are like.
I'm not really weird. Thinking about those because Missy okay. Elliott's videos are rad.
They're so good.
And yeah. and like and then you can even go to the ones like the Outkast ones, which yeah. are making fun of that the way the yeah. guys in the early 90s
what
were.
What an image of like, yeah, the pants that Andre 3000 is wearing that's all like different stuffed animals. Animals, and he's not wearing a shirt.
Oh yeah,
stitched together stuffed animals, huge pants.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
so good.
And these
burned
are
in my mind forever.
Videos that I like, but yeah. like I'm thinking more like Mace.
Oh come on, there's a couple good Mace videos.
Oh, well yeah, yeah yeah. I mean, Mo Money and Mo Problems
yeah.
is a great. Oh, it's Mace and Biggie, yeah. right? But like, it's a great video. So but it's funny. Just it's kind of. A
we have a friend who's like a Mace apologist who like really like Mace resonated with him in a way that no one else in the world I think like he's Mace's number one fan.
That's great. Yeah. But Mace wasn't ironically doing his music video.
Sure,
that's
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that
yeah.
I think
yeah.
were.
No, it's cool. I mean, there's so many levels of engagement with the form. You know, some people are doing yeah. it really literally. It's just like, look at me, I'm hot.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are like, look at me, the idea of being hot. You know, what?
Oh, yeah. I also like Laurie Anderson, Oh Superman. Like, mm. yeah, someone who like, that video wasn't played on like MTV, but it's a beautiful video and like really minimal and cool. Mm. Yeah.
More of like a video art.
A video art piece. Yeah.
I feel like, wait, is there some Laurie Anderson in your music? Is there, do you feel like that's
like the DNA
there?
Of like that?
Yeah, like the yeah. DNA.
Course, for sure.
Because
yeah.
I felt,
for sure.
I felt talking heads for sure when yeah, I heard yeah. my idea, but yeah. now that you're saying Laurie Anderson and we're talking about like the sort of performance visual art part
totally.
Of it.
Like,
oh,
yeah, yeah, I mean, that's yeah. the damn. Stuff we're interested in. Yeah. yeah.
We were just talking about this the other day, like talking heads, Laurie, like there's a sort of era, I guess it's maybe more late 80s, where like weird stuff could be mainstream in a way that I think it sort of peaked with Nirvana and then never before again, never since. Well, like, yeah, like that, like the underground can make an intervention at the level of popular culture. And I think the music video is like a real conduit for that.
Yeah.
To like actually just be fully mainstream.
Well, there's no such thing
as
in a way
that like really yeah. freaked out the normies for a long time.
I don't think there's such thing as a mainstream anymore. Now it's just a completely fractured landscape of anything that you want to be into. You can just dive into it, but there's no like, there's no big stream. It's all just tons of.
I mean, the only big stream is the Lord and Savior Taylor Swift, right? Like that is an amazing thing to watch with the younger kids.
Yeah.
Not in. Can't get in.
I fear saying anything. First of all, I love all musicians.
Yeah.
But musicians more than movie people are willing to like not. I love this about musicians are willing to not like another band and proudly be like, I don't like that other band.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When people hate
beef.
Me.
We need beef.
Yeah.
We need more beef in cinema. Where's
well, everywhere.
Everyone's very polite. But I think yeah. like it's like especially these days. But in the Taylor Swift case, I'm afraid her secret police will come to get me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
do you ever feel I can't believe I'm saying this on the podcast. I've been afraid to say this on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to
now. You're going to get it now.
Open this to you all.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Do you feel like sometimes the Taylor Swift thing is the actual plot of Josie and the Pussycats playing out? If Josie had been like,
movie.
Yeah, sure, I'll keep this DVD thing. I'll keep those headphones on. And
yeah. yeah.
I don't think we should even give it air. Let's not even talk about Taylor
love,
Swift. What are we doing here?
I do love that movie, though.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats?
Classic movie.
So good.
Classic movie.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Okay. Kaylee, do you have music videos?
I think... what's, you know, I really would love to make a music video that's just like a person trying to be hot. Like, I mean that, I'm not being facetious, just like a super straightforward,
like a classic
pop video. A classic pop, someone's being really hot, how do we make you look so hot, and just like elevate that hotness in a new way. That would be a new direction for me. I'm thinking like slave for you.
Okay, all right. You know, I was gonna say, what is the base level of hot you want from the artist, like, going into this?
Just, I can work with any kind of person, any kind of person and whatever they're comfortable with, but we can figure out a way to make you hot if you are comfortable being like, let's like make me look fucking hot.
Cause like, I'm now interested in possibly commissioning the music video where you rise to the challenge of making me look hot.
I'll make you
such a fun task.
Totally.
Yeah, it does seem fun. I mean, I do love, like, as much as I love high concept stuff, like sometimes we'll just like watch the Apple Music channel on Apple TV just to watch like contemporary music videos.
Yeah. Ooh, there's an Apple Music channel.
Yeah. It's just a stream. It's like a linear stream.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This is wall to wall, like contemporary, like hip hop and pop videos. And 90% of them are just people who are trying to look hot, looking hot, sitting in cars, like sitting, you know, in fancy.
But you know what? I think that the trend is more to look sad.
This is a theory I have.
We're on sad now.
It's kind of like post-Drake reality, where it's like the goal, because it used to be the goal was to appear affluent, hot, and happy, you know?
Yeah.
And now the goal is like to appear affluent, but like remorseful about being affluent and like
and isolated.
Regretful about like losing friends, or regretful about like being isolated because of your success. It's like a way of like being successful, holding the like mantle of success, but then not being like the bad guy, you know, like not being like the gross billionaire or whatever. Like, nobody wants to be, I don't know, you know, Elon Musk. They want to like be like, oh gee, I'm rich, but like I used to have some, what happened to my friends?
Yeah.
You know?
And it seems like the excessive rock star, I don't think we're going to get much of that.
No.
Like, there's
no,
that.
That's toxic.
Like, the Guns N' Roses thing, right? Yeah. Which was, I mean, one of my favorite books is Slash's autobiography, but like when you read his, or more so, I remember hearing about the now like very controversial, but not when it came out, Steven Tyler autobiography, where I'm like, these guys are, I'm always like, these guys are committing crimes and they're putting them in their books. And that is the purpose. So the book sells. I feel like that's not as much going to be part of the image anymore.
I'm a big fan of the, what's his name?
Scar Tissue. Anthony Kiedis. I knew what you were thinking.
That was amazing that you knew that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of, and you were like, Scar Tissue.
We share a brain.
Okay. That is like a real specific way to.
The Anthony Kiedis biography.
Oh,
really
gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's also, it's like, it's kind of, it's not so many crimes, like sex crimes. It's sex brags.
Yeah.
I used to joke that book should be subtitled Blowjobs I Have Had. It really is. Just like about beautiful women making love to beautiful women all over the world. Fascinating document of just like a time too, though.
Yeah.
That's
the last rock stars, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Could they be?
I don't know. I feel like
there's more.
Who's like a rock star?
I don't want to talk about it.
That'd be hit.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk more about your vision of this like hot video.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like you would still try to subvert it, even subconsciously.
Yeah, if I was like,
I don't think you could do it.
The goal of this is just like hot. Like, like consent, comfortable, all this stuff, but hot.
Didn't you kind of do that
with? Yeah, didn't you do that with, what's Flavia?
Yeah, but then like I didn't really get it. This is a music video I made several years ago, and I didn't really get the final director's cut.
Ooh.
And so then it kind of like, she wanted to incorporate some political stuff.
Okay.
In her cut with.
So it's not full hot.
So
okay.
Was it full hot?
My website.
Yeah.
So you didn't get full hot.
Oh, wow. She said that on a podcast.
What?
Nothing.
I'm sure whoever
you'll
that is.
I
didn't
hear it,
so I'll just have to hear it when I do the edit. If you want me to take it out, I can. But also, I'm confident whoever this person is, this is not their favorite podcast that they're listening to. I somehow don't think that they're like into like the like Jewish family pop culture podcast. I want to talk more about you all, more about music and movies.
Yeah.
Okay. One of so I have a question. So everyone, I think, has a question like this, which is the pop culture question they ask other people to get to know them. Mm-hmm. It's not a question with any judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
But like sometimes I just ask people, what's your question? Okay.
Oh.
What's your question? You don't have to come up with that. If you have it, amazing. I'd love to know it. But my pop culture question that I love to ask people is, what is your favorite movie music moment? Okay.
Movie music.
So.
Oh my God, there's so many good ones.
I mean, the fact that you can jump to it is great, but this can be, I just want to like open the, I've got this can be score.
Yeah.
This can be a performance in a movie. This can be like just a great needle drop.
Yeah.
For me, I like to start with mine just to model it, as we say, sure. in the facilitation industry. Becky, my sister, anyways, my sister and I do that also.
Does this ever change, or is this one that you've cemented as your very favorite?
No, this is, I mean, I can talk about this subject way past your heart out, but I do have a favorite because I, like, this is one of those things where it's, oh, it's hard to have a favorite. This one is my favorite for so many reasons, and it's the scene in That Thing You Do when they hear their music for the first time and they run around
I got goosebumps just even thinking.
The store.
That's so
because
good.
It, like, is everything I have loved.
Yeah.
At like, I wish I had that moment as a musician.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is amazing from a movie standpoint. All that I remember seeing that movie in the theater. Those young, like, I was such a, like, I thought I still wanted to be a rock star then. Like, everything about that scene, and the song is perfect. Adam Schlesinger, rest in peace.
Yeah. All
right. Right. Like, maybe, like, you know, one of the greatest like movie songwriters ever.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
Shout out to Wayne too.
Do you now? I also tell that to give people time to think of their idea.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite music moment in a movie.
Just the Rave in the Matrix. No, I'm just
the Cave Rave in the Matrix too.
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That is the first thing I thought of though.
That's so weird.
Just like as a scene where it's like, oh, they totally missed the mark in an interesting way. Anyway,
mine, I jumped to like my most recent one, and it's Anatomy of a Fall, the PIMP steel drum music.
Yes.
Which the original song is called What? But anyway, it's great and it's haunting. And I thought about it for so many days afterwards. Yes. And then I was helping a friend like set up their birthday party. And as a joke, someone put that song on repeat and it just haunted the whole night. But yeah, it was great.
Everybody was so excited though.
Yeah.
That is a great movie music moment. God, I think like it's great when one of those happens. Totally. When one of those happens, I'm like, yes.
I just read that was not the first choice of the song too. I can't remember what the original was.
Oh, I would love to know what the original choice was.
I mean, do your own research. You can find it.
Okay. Wow.
But yeah, no, that version Google of that song and the way that it's played like on a slightly blown out speaker and like at high volume, just like, yeah, the recording of it is so cool.
I was going to say, I forget exactly what happens in this movie, but in Buckaroo Banzai.
Ah, yes!
That like...
The end of the movie, the walk?
I mean, that song
Oh my God.
Yeah. That moment.
Truly perfect. One of the greatest moments in music history. That's probably my like number two.
Yeah, wow,
That's
so big for us. Yeah.
It's an incredible scene, the way everyone kind of joins that walk.
Oh,
the confidence, they're like... they're.
I have goosebumps now. I have chills.
Yeah.
Can I make a deck for us to be friends? Please.
Yeah, sure.
There's like a 5-hour long version of that song on YouTube that we put on when we clean the house.
Yeah, it just loops like forever.
There's nothing better to get you kind of in the headspace of just like productive, positive.
And like the change, there's a key change that's really good.
And then that like big. I just want to walk in. I assume that's the LA River.
I just want to walk
in the LA River with a bunch of cool friends.
Yeah. I also just love like every character in the movie in their full getup.
Perfect, you know? Tommy.
Like, yeah, perfect Tommy. Just getting that one last glimpse at all of them.
Yeah.
Such a great way to roll out a movie.
And if you look too, like real close, there is a like costume change mid walk. Some people change clothes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sound when John Parker comes on, just the sound that like they're like, they've announced his arrival.
Yeah.
Pretty Penny arrives. Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, just making sure. I don't want to leave anybody out. I've seen that movie so many times. Yeah. It's such an important reference to me.
Cool.
That's amazing. All right, Kaylee.
Yeah. My eyes were glazed over because I'm still like thinking about my favorite movie music moment.
Well, you can then you could just go with one you like. I don't want to like.
Yeah, yeah.
Where my mind went is kind of a different way, which is just like a soundtrack that I think.
Great.
Has,
great.
Like, influenced my life in a big way, which is the soundtrack for the movie Now and Then.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's peak soundtrack era.
That's like...
That was a huge, huge movie for me.
That's all those young kids, and the old kids are played by awesome actors, and the young kids are played by awesome actors.
We're talking...
Christina Ricci, right?
Oh, yeah.
Birch, like...
Thora Birch, huge.
Gabby
what
Hoffman.
Happened to Thora Birch?
Oh, like, Gabby Hoffman, yeah.
And I watched that film so many times, and then I would, like, play pretend with my friends, and I always wanted to be Christina Ricci, and then... You know, she gets to kiss Devon Sawa, and that was just like such a formative movie for me. And the music, like, just hearing that soundtrack brings me back, and it just like is so three-dimensional in that time.
Yeah. Now and then, so the Sisterhood's pants could travel. I suspect.
Absolutely, yes. I feel like that's. We're like roughly the same age, and like there's like that era of soundtracks was so like that was kind of the peak of soundtracks, like yeah. Trainspotting soundtrack, mm-hmm. That Thing You Do soundtrack,
Pulp Fiction,
Can't Hardly Wait soundtrack, mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction,
Romeo
soundtrack.
And Juliet. I realize I'm going over
oh
a whole.
God, Romeo and Juliet.
I have both discs of Romeo and Juliet because there's just like second wave volume.
That garbage song in the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. Oh my god.
A little bit earlier, Judgment Night. That soundtrack. You
know that's a great choice.
That era of music videos in the peak soundtrack time, like there would be the music video with the artist. And then they would cut to right. scenes from
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I feel like that would be a really fun meta yeah, Kaylee McGee concept to do like a cool. fake
okay,
movie.
Here's
yes. Oh, you've been wanting to do that for okay. a long time.
Hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot.
Uh-huh. Hot.
Inner cut with scenes from the movie, but we have to create a fictional
yes.
movie
yes, yes, yes,
for
yes.
that person.
Completely different look.
Is the movie yeah. going to be like, playing totally on the TV or projected on the wall like it is in some
yeah.
of those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In one scene, and then we kind of, the camera slowly moves, and then there's a kind of janky VFX as we
yes.
go
yeah.
into the
yeah, 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 yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like the movie's like totally like, it's so tonally weird yeah. compared yeah, yeah. to the song.
And it's
like,
it's like really, yeah. none of the things are fitting, and
yes.
it's like
yeah.
the filmmakers
they're just jamming it in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gelling it, but
ooh, that's so fun.
Had a lot of power.
yeah, yeah.
We should try to make a playlist of music videos from soundtracks that have those.
I'm thinking of the one that I think really typifies this is the one for Big Daddy and Dave Matthews. Where Are You Going? Or What Are You Doing? Whatever that's because you have the scenes from this like it's like a dark song,
yeah.
and then you have like the Big Daddy kid like walking around, and then like Dave Matthews projected on the or the movie projected on the. I don't remember, but that is the perfect example.
That's
they
awesome.
Still do that like it's like the like no. in like the no. songs from, like the Barbie soundtrack. Are they putting like clips in the Barbie movie in it or
no
right? Like
I haven't seen
that.
I do love when
anymore.
The actors from a movie. Sort of reprise oh, their
yeah.
role
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
an actual music video version.
Rare,
so,
rare.
So,
yeah. But yeah.
So Wheatus,
oh, yeah.
Teenage Dirtbag,
yeah.
Jason Biggs, and Mina Suvari are like in that video playing their characters from the movie Loser,
right.
Which is so weird.
Is so
I love
weird.
That.
Yeah.
Well,
how did that scheduling work? How do they get the rights?
Those are the questions that grown-ups ask themselves, right? Kids are just like, oh, this is yeah. cool. Grown-ups. Well, I am so grateful to get. Not one, but two bites at the apple of Kaylee McGee
superstar.
Here at
She's
South by Southwest. You're crushing it. And to meet the amazing Ban Yat, who like, as cool as your music is, you're like I said, I'm sending you the deck to be buddies.
Let's do it.
Approved. Yes. They say yes.
Thanks for being here, folks.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following @FryNightMovie on all of the socials and visiting our website, FryNightMovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.